We're still exploring the psalm. I was going in this direction, and I wasn't mindful of Father's Day until I began to read it. And then I thought, man, Father's Day. Psalm 8. Hallelujah. Yep, 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 yep. Are you there? Stand if you can. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. A circle, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. They went in a circle. You may be seated. You know, one can't help but sense the awe that David is experiencing as he meditates on the bigness of God, looking high over Judean hills and hills that are lavish with beautiful greenery, and seeing a magnificent moonlit sky with stars and scantily clad clouds accenting a darkening blue background. I imagine it was perhaps a very warm day, but now it's the cool of the evening. A breeze stirs. There's a quietness that brings man face to face with his creator. We sat out on the porch last night, Domi and I, and Josiah. And as warm as it was yesterday, it was in the cool of the evening. There was quite a wonderful breeze last night. And this is the quiet before the storm. But even the storm was welcomed. We needed that. And as we peered into the sky last night, Josiah said, there's the moon and two stars. Of course, there are more than that. There are more stars than that. But those two were the only that were visualized last night. You know, sometimes you look up in the sky, you only see one. And like me, I look up in the sky sometime and I see one, and I'm looking to find out if there's another one in this vast universe. And I realize that one is just one we're allowed to see. Because we know there are myriads, millions, billions, maybe trillions of stars out there. And to look out there and to feel that quietness, you can only say, oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And somebody might ask, you know, when David was doing this, and even last night, I was wondering to myself, was it a moment like this that he got this inspiration? You see, because I believe that if you really want to find God, just look for him.
Yeah.
Just look for God. He's everywhere. He's in everything. You can't get around him. You can't get by him. He's too big to get around. Too high to get over. He's an awesome God. God is awesome, y'all. You know, and I'm looking at this, and David is just awestruck when he begins to survey the universe and see how wonderful God is. He said, how excellent is your name? There's something about that. But whether you're able to receive it or not, what we were receiving last night, I like to say, and I hope that you understand me, what we were experiencing last night, and when you look at God's handiwork, what you are experiencing, when you see the stars, the moon, the planets, and everything else he created, trees, blades of grass, water, life in general, you are really experiencing the voice of God. See, I can't apply that to human beings, but I can apply it to God. You can see his work and hear his voice. Glory to God. You can see the skies and say, that's the voice of God. Hmm? 9 times in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and God said. And I want you to understand that everything God said is what we experience now. We're actually hearing God's voice. Not hearing. Hearing. And I believe if you peer long enough, you'll hear from God. And then the scripture says this. It says that, how excellent is your name in all earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Now, this is catchy because after it uses the word name, it says who. Means that the who is referring to the name that is mentioned prior. So here we have a God that speaks everything into existence. And to top it off, he uses his name as a banner for the heavens. Glory. He says, how excellent is your name in all the earth? Who have set your glory? It's not asking a question. It's making a declaration. Who have set your glory above the heavens? In the beginning, as we said, God spoke everything that we're able to see and comprehend. Anything in existence, God spoke it. God said. So when you see a cloud, a star, the moon, the sky, we are experiencing the voice of God. Yeah. And about what we see, above what we see, is his name. And his name alone produces glory. Understand that. It's the name of God that produces glory. Listen, go to Psalm 138. I wrestled with this one for a while. I had great help from my assistant. My wife helped me greatly in this because I wanted to show you something. I want you to know that God's word is above everything. Psalm 138. 137 pages, 137 psalms away. You know, am I right? 131? Because we're in Psalm 8 now. Oh, Lord. 130? Yeah, 130. 138 and 2. Listen to this. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, his name produces his glory. His name is higher than any name. But God takes his word and places it above his name. Glory to God. He places his word above his name because a person's name is only as good as his word. Huh? You got to understand this. I don't care what your name is. If you don't talk worth nothing, your reputation is spoiled. See, he takes his word and places it above his name. He sanctions his name by saying, my word is truth. And not only is my word truth, my word is the highest truth. In fact, my word is who I am. God is perfect. Perfect in all his ways. Glory to God. He's not a man that he could lie, should lie. There's not a lie found in him. There's not a tinge of deception in God. That's why when David began this, he said, oh Lord, our Lord. He didn't want to keep this to himself. See, he didn't want you to think that Israel has some kind of dibs on God or that there's some kind of tribal God that they're serving. But he wanted to let everybody know that you are privy to this. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. And he takes his word and puts it above the majesty of his name. That's one immutable thing that we know about God, that he cannot lie. Huh? So he puts his word above it. As if to say, if you don't have trust in my name, just believe what I'm telling you. Just believe what I'm saying. That's why I say you can look at the stars and the moon and the sky and be observing the voice of God. I believe that Pastor Warren, our pastor, is on to something. He said that we're living in a time now where we have to recover the name and the voice. Somehow or another, we've let them slip away. But we're in a generation where we must learn how to recover the name and the voice. Two crucial elements in the life of a believer. The name that carries so much power and the voice of God that instructs us in the way that we should go. If we're lacking anything, we're lacking instruction and direction. And I want to say to you, it's not God's fault. Because even as we are beholding his handiwork, there are some things that God speaks through his creation that allows us to know where we should be going, what we should be doing, what we should be saying, how we should be behaving. You see, because we need to understand that God has a plan and it's already laid out. I want you to understand that in the beginning, when God began to speak things into existence, he spoke everything in its proper place. He spoke everything to fit. Everything fits. There's nothing that God put into motion that was out of order. That's amazing. That you can put a whole universe out there. And everything functions the way it's supposed to. He doesn't make mistakes. That's why he put his word above his name. He doesn't make mistakes. He created everything to fit perfectly. The moon fits perfectly. It reflects. See, the moon is not full of light. It just reflects light. The sun is hot, does what it's supposed to do. 1 millimeter away and we'll freeze to death. Yeah. 1 millimeter closer, we'll burn up. Perfect. Everything is perfect. Now, if he created everything perfect, the one thing that caught my attention was that when he created all of this, as he spoke this, he said these words, it was good. I did good, he said. Oh, God said, I did good, didn't I? Everything is perfect. But then when he gets to man, he gets really excited and said, very good.
Yes.
Meaning that man is designed to fit what God has put together. Man is supposed to fit in this universe. Just like the moon and the stars and the sun fit in the sky. Just like clouds fit. Beautiful, scantily clad clouds with a blue background, they fit perfectly. Man, which is God's apex of creation, which God said is very good, is supposed to fit just like everything else. He fits. And he fits so wonderfully that David, in writing this, asked the question, what is man? He's looking at the awesomeness of God. Look at how wonderful God is, how magnificent God is, how awesome he is in his creatorial aspect, how God is able to do all the things he does and yet come down and dwell with man. You're trying to figure out how can God and man even get along? Because you see, God, and God is as wonderful. God is what you may call significant. Man is what you may call insignificant. Now, God is significant, but God takes it upon himself to come down and dwell in insignificance. When you look at the earth and balance it against everything that's created in this universe, it's a very small place.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Wow. You're right.
Very small.
You're right.
Imagine how small a man looks on the face of the planet. He's not even a glitch, not even a dot. Here is the creator of all of this around him, and he decides, I'm going to dwell in that. Significance dwelling in insignificance. What is man that you are so mindful of him? Wow. God takes his awesomeness and says, because he fits my plan. Glory to God. God said he fits my plan. He fits like the universe is, it could not exist. Listen, he fits because without him, the universe would be nothing.
Amen.
Insignificant, but needful.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Glory to God. Amen. You want to know what a man? A man is priceless.
Go ahead.
A father is priceless. Because you must understand that man came from God himself. What is a man? He's carrying something. He may seem insignificant, but he has some significance in him. Now, what is the significance? He has God's creatorial skills. God is creative. He's a creative God. He creates a creative man. He gives him ingenuity. He gives him a mind that can be matched by no other created being except another man. He's at a place where he has the capacity to think like God. Because God said it in the beginning. He created man in his image and in his likeness. There was a wrinkle in the program. And unfortunately now that the wrinkle has been put in the program, I like to say it was a wrinkle put in the dress. But now the wrinkle has turned into a stain. Yeah, it's a stain in the dress. Simply because now, not understanding that man is from God, man is left to try to describe what he feels man ought to be. What is a man? We must understand, first and foremost, that man is not culturally defined. He is defined spiritually. If you want to know what a man is, you got to go to the creator of the man. You can't go to the people that the man was born from. That's not true evidence. It's easy to say, that's my daddy. But where are you from? What model are you? So you say, I come from God. For God created man out of the dust of the earth. Breathed in him. Breath of life. So you can say that he is part and parcel, an extension of God. Amen. Has to be an extension because God has given him rulership over the earth.
Yes. Amen. Yes, yes.
God chose a man to rule the earth for him.
Yes, yes, yes.
Gave him dominion. Gave him dominion and said, look, I'm not living on earth. You are. Rule it. The same instruction God gave Adam, he said, tend the garden, is the same instruction he gives today's man. We should be and supposed to be in a position where we're tending and taking care of God's environment. God created this wonderful being that we call man, gave him dominion, which means he gave him authority over the fish of the sea. Over the birds of the air. Gave him authority. Meaning that we have more authority in the earth than wouldn't be led on that to know. We really don't understand. But the same way we can misunderstand the awesomeness of God, you could also misunderstand the awesome responsibility that God has placed man in to take care of an entire universe. Because that was Adam's job. A job that he was given was to take care of this universe that you were created to fit in. Fit. That's one of God's greatest achievements, that he's able to make you fit a situation. He makes us fit. That means we are productive where we are. Wherever you're fitted, you're supposed to produce something. God told Adam and Eve, I want you to reproduce, multiply.
Yes.
That's his position. I want you to produce. I want you to multiply. I want you to fill this earth with people just like you, filled with me. See, Adam and Eve were filled with God at one time. Filled with God. God's plan was this earth would be filled with people with him. Oh, can you imagine? A whole planet of people all filled with God? They would fit. But see, man has become unfit. Now he doesn't fit anything. Why? Because we've tried to make man culturally man instead of God's man. You shouldn't be a cultural man. You may be a part of cultures, but that's not your origin. And because you're trying to fit in a place where you're not supposed to fit, you'll stop being what God created you to be. You won't fit, but you try to make yourself fit in places where you're not supposed to fit. You'll become a misfit. And so we live in a society now where all we see is misfit. We don't understand. We don't understand. And then when we become misfits, we lose hold of our role. We don't know why we're here anymore. We're here that the glory of God may be seen. His original plan was an awesome plan. And he gave man dominion. Told him rule, reign, have dominion. Dominion. we're supposed to rule as kings on this earth. The Old Testament declares that we have become a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
That's what God's plan was when he initiated the children of Israel, when he first birthed them out of Abraham, that we would be a kingdom of priests. He reiterated to Moses and to let him know this is God's mind. A kingdom of priests. That would mean that there would be a world of people, like I said, filled with God. Walking this earth. What is a man? A man is supposed to be an instigator. That's one of his attributes. He's supposed to be an instigator. What does an instigator do? An instigator makes things happen. 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a man by the name of Elijah. They called him Elijah the Tishbite. They put that in there, didn't they? The Tishbite let you know he came from a man. This is Elijah. He came from a man. But look what he does in obedience to God. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it tells us that he makes a declaration about the elements. Anybody got that?
Amen.
I like to hear it read. Can you read that for me, Dorothy? Okay. Give it to me, Wendy Hardy. 17 verse.
Now 1. Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word."
Till you give the what?
Till he give the word.
Places his word above his name. Uh-huh. Now, this Tishbite says, "By my word, it won't even be any dew. It won't even be any rain." He is an instigator. He makes things happen. See, this could happen after him, but God wouldn't allow it. God has to have an instigator to produce what he wants in the earth to get other men's attention. So he uses Elijah as an instigator. An instigator is a praying man. Contrary to thought, everybody in here can pray, and everybody in here, God hears you.
Amen.
We just have to believe that what we're saying is entering into the eardrums of God.
Amen. Thank you.
Most of our prayers are not answered simply because we don't believe what we're praying.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Belief is not an emotion. Belief is an expression of you.
Yeah.
What do you believe? I believe that God heard me.
Yeah.
I believe he hears me all the time. If you believe he's awesome and he's all-knowing, why can't you believe that he can't hear you?
Go ahead.
When he's listening to billions of people pray every minute, and he can't hear me? Somebody has to believe that God is hearing me. Elijah believed that God hears him. He declares before all those in listening ear, "It will not rain, nor will there be dew until I say the word." Glory to God. That is not only an instigator. This man has quiet confidence. Why is his confidence so quiet and why is he so bold? It's because he's tied to his source. He finds out that he fits in God. I not only fit in God, I fit in God's creatorial aspect. I fit in God's universe. I fit in God's plan. When you understand that you fit in God's plan, you'll become more bolder. Oh, your courage level will rise up when you realize that the purpose I'm here is to fit God's plan. I got to get out of this. I'm just a church-going believer. I'm more than that. I fit the universe. The universe can't function without me. It's not going to function the way it's designed to function because I'm not in my place. What is a man? A man is an instigator. Mm-hmm. God wasn't so out of sorts when he said that let this woman come from man. He said this clearly and boldly. It is not good for man to be alone. Because even though man can fit this universe, God didn't intend for man to be a lone ranger. You fit, but you need somebody else to help you fit. You're going to have problems. And you don't have all the answers. I believe that is the goodness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that probably is whispering in the echoes of heaven, this man needs a woman. He needs a woman. If they're going to procreate, I can't trust that to a man. Because children have to have both parties in them. Because I'm in both of them, I have to be in all of them. When we're encouraged not to cohabitate with the unbeliever, God knows what he's doing. God continually wants a seed that he can look at and see himself. God wants to see a seed that has his reflection.
Go ahead.
He wants to see a seed that fits. See, it can only fit if it's him. See, man can only fit when God is involved. That's why the universe doesn't function the way it's supposed to, because there's so many who are trying to fit and don't. Warm weather, hot weather, earthquakes, and all these other things that occur on the face of this planet, I don't think it was God's original intent for that. I have to always go back to the original intent of God's mind. That's why he put his word above his name. So that we can hang on to his name, but don't forget that his word is true from beginning to end. Understand what my original intent was. My original intent was to
something. Yeah.
Because right now, yeah. Hallelujah. We do apologize on the CD. We had a blackout. And so if you wonder why you got that little bit of blank on your CD, just be patient. We're back. I got a hum.
That might be because of this. Is this on?
I got a hum. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm good. 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 And I think that God's original intent was man for man, was that man would fit God's plan. Now, listen to, go back to Psalm 8. Hallelujah. It says, he set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. It is something, for a long time, I equated this with just natural children. And it still fits that. But when you look at it closer, you can also see that he could be referring to us, because we're all children of God. And what he is saying is that he can take something that's so insignificant and induce it with power. Glory to God. Here you are. You don't think you're much. But when the enemy comes against you, God can put words in your mouth, to have you run the devil away. Why? Because God is entrusting himself in you. No fear. Because God has entrusted himself in you. Whereas he'll tell you, one can chase 1,000. Two, take 10,000 in flight. It's because God is the power behind all that man does. And when he says, out of the mouth of babes and infants, it could be a child. Sometimes you can be talking to a child and they'll say something that'll astound you. Yeah. One of the things that I think that will affect all of us is sometimes when we talk to our children, and then after we say what we say to the children, we go off somewhere and find out that was God saying that to you. We'll tell our children, if you really love me, you wouldn't lie. And then you turn your back and God say, if you really love me, you wouldn't lie. A lot of times, and the children will respond to us sometimes. They'll say something and you'll wonder, where did they get that from? God. Sometimes God will speak to a child to get us in a place where we're able to fit. Yeah, we'll fit. That's if we hearken, if we pay attention. It says he ordained strength. Sometimes you're strengthened by the mouth of a young person. I could have went off. And then something dawns on you. I couldn't do that in front of that child. Somehow or another, that's why I say there's a stain in the dress. First it was a wrinkle caused by Adam, but the wrinkle has been there so long now it's stained. Is because now we have adults who don't care what they say around children. They don't care what they say around children. They use words that children shouldn't be privy to. They speak and act up and behave in a way where children shouldn't be in their presence. But they have no thought that they're not mindful of it. They just come out and use words that shouldn't even be thrashed on a child. Here's a child, 4, maybe 5 years old, and they are the victim of severe profanity. That's what you call not fitting. See, the universe becomes disruptive. Don't think that it just affects you, your house, your family, your community, your neighborhood, your school. It affects the entire universe. Why do I keep saying that? It's because you've been given that kind of dominion. That kind of authority. Where you rule and reign. And you're going to say any kind of thing and act any kind of way and think that nothing happens because of what you've done. I want to tell you that sin affects everybody around you. Sin affects everything. It affects everything around you. I don't care if it's public or private. It's still in effect. Because you understand this, sin is unleashed. and it doesn't have a chain that you can pull it back. And when that sin is released, it does its damage. It affects the curvature of the universe. It doesn't fit. You don't fit like you're supposed to. God created man to fit. What is man? He's supposed to fit the plan of God. The plan of God. Hallelujah. All men filled with God is Satan's worst nightmare. That's what scares the devil. To have a world full of God-filled men. And that's why he fights so hard to keep God-filled men absent. If I can get them. And then, you see, his plan is already advanced. If I can, first of all, I want to keep a man out the family. If I can keep him out of the family, I take a high chance that he will not run into somebody and preach the gospel to him so that he can have a spirit-filled household. Can't have a spirit-filled household if he's not there. God always start with the man first. That's the way he made it fit. Then he gave God, as I was saying, he gave man a woman. Man is not only an instigator, he should be also a man who's able to handle a woman. What was he created to do? If he's an instigator, well, he's created to accentuate a woman. Woman is not any lesser intelligent than he is. She may not be as strong as he is. But I believe and have always believed that God gives a man a woman that strengthen his weaknesses while he does the same to her. Where she's weak, he's strong. Where he's weak, she's strong. That fits like a glove. And they're able to deal with their differences by understanding their weaknesses. Glory to God. And don't stand up and try to tell your man how strong you are, because your strength may not be his strength for his weakness. Stop telling her that you're the man and that's why. That's not a good answer. Because I'm the man, that's why. Anybody heard that before? Yeah. That's why I mean that there's a stain in the dress. We're not doing it the way it was supposed to be done before the stain or the wrinkle got there. We're doing it our way. When you don't fit, you'll become any kind of man. Oh, the stain is there. And now that you don't know what a man is, you'd rather be a woman. See, I'm of the opinion that if you deviate from God in any shape, form, or fashion, you will inevitably take on a confused state of mind. You will even also lower your nature down to the animal level. Because you're not benefiting from the Creator. God. You become animalistic in your behavior. We'll treat each other like animals treat each other. How else do you explain a lady riding around with a dead son in the trunk of her car for 11 years he's been missing? That's animalistic. How else do you describe a society where diseases that are transmitted sexually are at an all-time high, and people are going at it as if that doesn't even occur? We live in an animalistic society where cravings and lusts are released. just to please me. That's animal behavior. Animal behavior. We shouldn't be lusting and craving like animals. God gave man a woman that he may accentuate her, bring out her best. Whatever she is, she can be made better by his accentuation. We are given a woman to make that woman better than she's ever been. A man is not only an accentuator, not only is he an instigator, a man should be a leader. A leader in everything that he does. Because of what he has on the inside of him, he is being led to be a leader. He's not a leader on his own. He's a leader that's being led by a leader. Glory to God. Glory to God. I cannot afford to leave out the part that God, the insignificance, is receiving significance. I can't leave that alone because the scripture tells us like this, that you have heavenly treasure. An earthen vessel. I can't leave that out simply because any man without Christ will wander aimlessly. Any man without Christ will invent his own ideas. Any man without Christ will eventually widen the stain in the dress. Any man without Christ will sooner or later lend himself to his own inventions. That's why God said it's not good. A man to be alone. He could have been saying he's not good to be alone without a woman, and it's definitely not good for him to be alone without me. Because he will invent stuff, create, because he's creative. He'll create ways to do evil. He'll create ways to do things evil. They're trying to make transgender normal. Yeah. It's not normal. It's not normal. See, when you start examining this kind of lifestyle, you must understand that God condemns not homosexuality. God condemns the practice of it. Just as he condemns that, he condemns not just sin. Sin, everybody sins. But God condemns the practice of sin. But in this time that we live in, it's pretty much man doing what he wants to do. They'll tell you, no, I'm not gay. Then why are you doing what you do? I just want to do it. God gonna turn them over to reprobate minds, and so they just do what they want to do. I don't like the idea of this nation, which is supposed to be a nation as a beacon of light. And what we're showing other nations of this world is that we are a perverted nation. Because we're not fitting God's plan. Because we don't think God is matter. It matters not to us what God thinks. That's why they won't to throw away a man and a woman as a perfect example of God's grace and mercy. God said in the beginning he created man and woman. And what God put together, let no man. These are like meaningless words. This is what God means. I know it's a lot of, we got stuff like this going on in our families. But our evangelism needs to increase. Because let me tell you something. It may be somebody in your family. It may be somebody, maybe a cousin, maybe a nephew, niece, mama, daddy. That's thinking about changing. Or going the opposite direction. You better evangelize. You better tell somebody. It ain't time to be cute. It ain't time to sit on the sideline. It's not time to be culturally right. You're not created to fit the culture. You're created to fit the plan of God. For some reason, we're getting more politically correct without reading what the word says. What is a man? What is a man? It's not something that for a while they thought that John Wayne was the man. They thought John Wayne was the man. And then they ran out of making men look like John Wayne. They said, well, let's make him like Rambo. Then they make him, he was like Rambo, and then they make him like somebody else, wild, and somebody else. Then they just made him a robot from another planet. Because they don't know what a man is. That's why on television programs, there's a lack of men. There's a lack of fathers. Everybody moves in one house and there's no father. But there's uncles. There's cousins. There's no fathers. Not fitting the plan of God. What is a man? The Bible says, what is a man that you're so mindful of him? That you do what you do for him. That you visit him. You think God's visiting this generation? God is looking. Visiting, I don't think so. Because the Bible is clear. It says that God's eyes are searching to and fro, looking for one whose hearts are right towards him. He's not looking for misfits. He's looking for somebody whose hearts are set and designed to follow him. Not somebody who's set and designed to fight against him. God will not fight against the will of man. He will not do it. And so he tells us, as we close this, he said he took his son and made him a little lower than angels. I made him a little lower than angels. And I've given him all dominion. I placed everything on his feet. And he talks about Jesus and how Jesus entered into this room and what Jesus means to this world. And then he said what he would wanted to say concerning man himself. He says this in Psalm 8. When I consider the heavens, your works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you made him, who him, Jesus, a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. If you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, this is a shift. Because he not only becomes messianic, but he comes back to the original thought. Look what he's done for man. I've given you glory and honor. I've given you authority. I sent my son to show you how it's done. I made him a little lower than the angels. That means I made him a man. Gives us all this dominion. Gives us all this authority. And what do we do with it? We switch it to do it the way we want to do it. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field. Our authority shines so bright because this is the same thing he said in Genesis. His original plan was man that he would have authority. And there's something about authority that sometimes we just can't handle it. You give a man too much rope, somebody said he'll choke himself. And I believe that that's true because he gave men too much rope. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what is going on. Man, creative. He's an instigator. He's an accentuator. He's made to produce. He's made to enhance his environment with honesty, integrity, and character. And God gave Adam distinct instructions. We also ought to heed warning to those instructions. We should be taking care of this environment the way God put us here to do it, to fit our environment. He created man to fit his plan, to fit his universe, to fit his creation. What do we do when significance is housed in insignificance? Man doesn't trust in himself. He doesn't trust in faith. He's a man of faith, but his trust is not in faith. That's the wrinkle in the dress, the stain. Man now trusting in his faith. I'm going to close with this. Man is trusting in his faith when he's off. Because you can't trust in faith alone. Faith has to have an object. Hallelujah. What is your object of faith? Because as we read the word of God, we realize that Jesus is the object of faith. In Mark 11, Jesus said, have faith, have trust, have faith in God. That's why faith is supposed to lie. It's supposed to lie in Christ. He is the object of our faith. How can we function in a world when we don't even have the object of our faith in line? You can't. You can't do anything without Jesus. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We can't even have faith without Jesus. I got faith in what? I believe in what? Jesus. He is the man that God sent to be an example to us, to get the wrinkle out of the dress, to put us in a position to again fit. And you know how he does it? This is what the Bible says. It says that we're shaped and molded in the image of his dear son. While it says that it tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come on now. See how we're off? But God gives us instructions on how to get back. Find out what a man should do. Even on Father's Day. What is a man? Because I believe you have to be a good man first to be a good father. Yeah, it's time for us to get back to where we're supposed to be, men. We're supposed to be getting back to being Holy Ghost-filled men, men filled with God everywhere we go. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, people can talk about you and say you're too spiritual all they like. That's your business. You just tell them, I'm fitting. I fit the plan of God. Hallelujah. If you fit the plan of God, your sons and daughters will fit the plan of God. Fit the plan. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you all the praise. You are holy, you are righteous. You're awesome in all your ways. Lord, we give you credit. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory for your magnificent plan. Thank you that you're concerned about us, that you care about us, that you pour your heart out on us, that you are constantly trying to get us in that place of returning to you, of turning and returning to you by repenting and returning to you. There's a world out there that is against you and everything that you represent. But Father, your word declares that those who know their God shall do great exploits. Father, we return into that position where we want to be able to fit the plan. We want to see your plan of salvation functioning in the earth the way that you ordained it to. You sent your son who said he came to seek and save that which was lost. That, Lord, what is that? Not just people, because we're not that. I think the entire program that you designed for man, the plan for man, is what you've come to seek and save. That you will restore us to that place, even as we recover the name and we recover the voice of a Most High God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father. Help us to fight the great battle of faith that we're fighting. Lord, our trust and our faith is in you. And Father, we've decided to make a stand for righteousness. But Father, on our own, we cannot accomplish any of your plan. We must have you. We must have you. We must have you directing us, leading us, guiding us, strengthening us, encouraging us, building us up. We need you, Father. Help us to be what you have ordained us to be. Help us fit your plan. Father, I pray for men, especially this morning, Father, that you would encourage our hearts, that you would cause us to see that we are God-filled men. And anything less than that is not acceptable. Strengthen us in our relationship with you. Stop us in our tracks, Lord, when we're going too far and doing too much without you. Hold us up. Keep us in that place of quiet solitude, Father, where we're able to observe our environment and see your voice. Hear what you're saying. We can only be better men through you. We give you praise today. Ask that you touch every father in this place. Give a fresh perspective. Fresh vision. Lord, we give you praise. We open our hearts to you this morning, that you would fill our hearts with yourself, fill our hearts with your glory, fill our hearts with your desires. We give you praise for that. Lord, we thank you what you're about to do in the hearts of men all over this world. We give you praise for that. We thank you. And bless the supporting system that you've placed in man. Bless the Holy Spirit in him, and bless the women that you put around him, and bless his community because of his existing in that community. Bring out the instigator in all of us. There will be men of prayer, men of hope, men of courage. We're not ashamed of this gospel. We understand it's the power of God unto salvation. We acknowledge you as our source. Thank you for this great day that we've never experienced, but you've allowed us to. Thank you, Father. We bless you now. Bless us as we leave this place, but not your presence. Bless our travel. Bless our homes. Bless the food that we receive. Bless every minute of breath that we take during the course of this day. Shower us with your blessings. And we give you praise. And it's in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. Hallelujah.